Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.
As if they don't have too much on their plates, the Kings of Combat Sports Podcast, John and Wade. They talk about the things they did that day. They'll analyze the work of Triple H.
Rewind to SmackDown. Rewind to SmackDown.
And it is John Pollock and Neil Flanagan. He is stepping in on these Friday nights, a true MVP. Wei Ting is on paternity leave, and Neil, so gracious with his time. I would love to be a fly on the wall and see Neil's like sleeping schedule and how you watch all of these shows. I mean, you have, I don't know how you do it, Neil. You are a true Iron Man.
I'm not, John. I'm just a natural nocturnal beast. You know, it's sort of, I'm a night owl.
4:30 in the morning as we're speaking?
It is, yeah. Actually, that does sort of serve as a bit of a reality check. But it's the weekend, and I'm a wrestling fan from Europe, so I'm well used to it. Of course, in real life, you know, I do have a job. I do have a day job, and early in the week, I just managed to sort of shift my schedule. I don't know. I don't want to get into it too much. No one's interested in this, but yeah, Monday to Wednesday.
We admire the dedication, Neil. I couldn't do it if was living in your geographical region. But Neil is here for the next couple of weeks. I'm very excited to have him on these shows on Friday. And WrestleMania week is beginning here at Post Wrestling on Monday. And if you are a member of the Post Wrestling Cafe, you are certainly going to get more bang for your buck beginning Monday. I'm going to be dropping a very special surprise on Monday at noon Eastern on the Post Wrestling Cafe. I had a wacky idea that I decided to do today, and it was nuts, but you will all get the end result on Monday. So that's dropping at noon Eastern. We're going to have interviews. We're going to be doing daily shows beginning Thursday at noon on the cafe. I'll be with John Cena, and then every day at noon Eastern, from Thursday through Sunday, we're going to have live shows. And then the night of WrestleMania, night 1 and 2, we will be live immediately after. Neil's joining me for night 1, and Wei Ting will step into the hot seat on night 2 as well. So we have lots of stuff planned coming up for next week. Do take a look over at postwrestlingcafe.com. We will be throwing some stuff on the free tier as well. It does require a sign up, but no financial commitment. But if you are so intrigued, $6 gets you 30 days of access, including all of our WrestleMania week coverage. So look out for all of that. But Neil, tonight we are not talking about WrestleMania. We're talking the road to WrestleMania, and it went through Seattle, Washington at the Climate Pledge Arena. I didn't even know you could name an arena such anymore. I think there might be an executive order against such a thing coming any day now. We had got a number from WrestleTix of 10,194 tickets distributed. And we go into the night show with a recap of last week's announcement by Kevin Owens and the RKO to Nick Aldis. And that sets up Nick Aldis in the ring to invite Randy Orton, who comes out. And Orton, much like many people noted, calls back to last year's fine for another RKO where he paid him double because he knew he would RKO him again. And he says this as though, I'm in the clear here. I did nothing wrong. Like, Aldis just has to look at him like just a total fool. And Orton explains he needs a match at WrestleMania because this will be his 20th WrestleMania appearance. It's like, my God, this guy, if you throw out 2003, when he had just been called up and got hurt, he's missed 2 WrestleManias since then in this run. I mean, he's had an incredible longevity of, you know, he's had a lot of injuries, but has pretty much been on every WrestleMania card throughout his career. So he suggests that even Nick Aldis could be his opponent. Aldis says that with business on fire, none of this is about money or fines. He says, I don't need your money. I need your respect. Orton explains, I've always respected you, but if I don't get a match at WrestleMania, I won't be able to explain to Mickie James what I did to you. And I'm thinking with a line like that, that, man, they are setting up Nick Aldis. I mean, he's calling up, he's like name dropping the wife, but then Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga come out and Aldis, like, I didn't even know why we're even teasing this Aldis thing at this point, unless this is some like misdirect that we had all night long. But I came out of the show not expecting Nick Aldis, but they certainly were setting this up as like this red herring, based on like where this promo was going.
Yeah, they pushed it pretty heavily, and Aldis was like staring daggers at you know, really, really giving him the stink eye when he came out. And I thought the mention of his wife, although the crowd didn't react that heavily, maybe they just, you know, a lot of them don't know, you know.
Not a lot of LFG watchers.
No. yeah, and then it was just, here comes Solo and Tama Tonga.
Solo and Tama come out, and they tell Orton to get out of the ring. He's crying, and you are in the past, just like LA Knight. And Orton cuts this fiery promo about his pent-up aggression and challenges both. So they charge the ring. It's 2-on-1. LA Knight comes out to clear the ring. And wouldn't you know it, we get a tag match that Aldis approves for later tonight. Because, as we learned, the entire third hour of SmackDown, not booked by the GM, Nick Aldis. He had no main event. And then when Tiffany Stratton and Roxanne Perez asked for a match, Aldis has to think about it. What do you have to think about? You have nothing in this last hour. So the majority of the last hour booked on the fly here by Nick Aldis. And
yeah, as per. Well, and one more quick note. Randy misidentified, or maybe he was thinking of someone else, but he said the voices were telling him to beat up two Samoans right now. And of course, Tama Tonga, it's in the name, is not Samoan.
Well, you know, Randy Orton, he doesn't see color either, just like Triple H. So he just made a generalization.
Pacific Islander.
Most of this first hour was consumed by the women's gauntlet match, Liv and Raquel are at ringside. And this is Lyra Valkyria and Bayley starting things off against Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. And like many gauntlet matches, like some of these were really rushed. But for the end, I thought it did peak well with the last contest here. And so Shayna and Zoe Stark, it ends, Stark hits a blockbuster, but then after Bayley sends Stark into the barricade, Stark avoids the elbow stomp, and Jackknife covers Baszler to eliminate them. Next up, it is Natalya and Maxine. Their brand new plans, which consisted of matching pink outfits, and Natalya's work in the beginning. When Maxine was tagged, there was like a noticeable reaction when Maxine was tagged in. Like this crowd was like really curious, I guess, to see her. And she came in, and you can see, like, I have no doubt that she is putting in a lot of hours to train and get better. She's still very green. Like, it's very rushed. And this was, you know, a live television match. She hits a fisherman buster, an avalanche splash, and then a caterpillar. And at one point, she went for a cover and did it with so much impact that she basically turned Bayley right on top of her, but then goes for a sharpshooter, and it's countered with a cradle by Bayley, who pins Maxine. And the idea here is Natalya is, she's got this look on his face or on her face, and you have Joe Tessitore pretty much like, Natalya's thinking, what did you just do? Like the exposition here was very much appreciated. So yeah, it's... I thought Natalya and Maxine, they might do something with them here, but this feels like they're just going to split at some point before they even get out of the gates, which is fine.
Sure. Yeah. It looks like a very kind of C-level storyline that they'll continue after WrestleMania.
Next was Katana Chance and Caden Carter. These two had like a 3-minute match. They, in their mind, had like 10 minutes of stuff to fit into 3 minutes. That's what this felt like. And Chance and Carter are just going at a furious pace to just get as much as they can here. The keg stand is hit, but Bailey saves. There's this great tornillo through the ropes by Carter. And then Lyra blocks a Rana, deadlifts her up onto the shoulders, and hits the Nightwing on Katana, pinning her as they advance. Next is Meechan and B-Fab. And, you know, B-Fab has certainly improved as well here. I didn't think there was anything that stood out here in like a negative way until there was – it was actually the other team that had this bizarre spot. And you might not have seen this because this was during the commercial break. And Lyra, they've got the heat on Lyra, and she's trying to work for the tag to Bailey. But again, we're in the commercial break where you're not going to do a hot tag. So Lyra's reaching and reaching, and Bailey has to move her hand because Lyra's about to tag her. And Lyra then instead just slaps the hand, and Wade has to, oh, she tagged her. Oh, the ref's saying no. It was like, this was just very confusing because they had the hot tag planned for as soon as the commercial ends. And I don't know if Lyra just didn't know they were at commercial, but Bailey was like, no, we're not doing the tag right now. It was very bizarre. But we come back. Bailey eventually does get the tag, got hit with a tornado DDT, and then blocks a spin kick, Rose Plant, and pins B-Fab. And now we have one team left. And this was the one that seemed to get the bulk of the time with Piper Niven and Elba Fire in their secret Hervis outfits. And we saw a double team suplex turned into a DDT by Bailey. She hits a tornado DDT onto Niven. And then as she's going for the Vader bomb, Lyra turns it into a power bomb. Bailey hits the top rope elbow, and Niven kicks out at the count of one. Then Niven and Fire did this double team where Niven pulls back Bailey with a straitjacket as Fire comes off with a swanton, and Lyra crashes into Niven, making the save. And then after a drop kick is turned into a power bomb by Lyra to the floor, a Rose Plant is hit onto Elba, and Lyra hits this guillotine leg drop off the top, pinning Elba Fire, and Bailey and Lyra Valkyria run the gauntlet and will challenge Liv and Raquel at WrestleMania.
Yeah, Bailey and Lyra booked pretty strongly here, you know, defeating everybody in their path. I couldn't come away from this with much else other than they're filling a lot of time. You know, this show was not in any way as star-studded as last week's SmackDown, for example. And like you said, John, this was pretty much the first hour, or the guts of it was this one match. But it gets us to that Mania opponent, so I suppose it serves its purpose. And Liv, I think, is high enough on the card that she deserves a Mania spot. Her and Raquel and Bailey, of course, you know, these are all names. And I think, yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah,
I think you can tell I'm not blown away by the women's title match being on Mania, but.
No, the handicap of this is it's a lot of makeshift teams, and even the team that we were focusing on is a makeshift team by the very definition. I would say like if a lot of this is rushed, but I did feel like the final match was like the strongest, where you did like Niven and Elba, like they were very good opponents for them. Like Niven is a great base, and I thought that was like the strength of the match. And with Liv and Raquel, I mean, I don't expect this one to be one of the highlighted matches for WrestleMania, but you would assume like Liv getting a spot on the card to your point. Yeah. Joe Tessitore explains that last week the line was crossed between Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair, and disciplinary action is involved. And then he mentions that what happened this afternoon has led to Charlotte Flair being sent home for the rest of the week. Now, I was super busy all day, so I had no idea what Joe Tessitore was talking about, and had to go dig up this social media angle that they did where Charlotte attacks Tiffany in the parking lot earlier today and this was like with the fan footage that they got out there, kind of similar to the Kevin Owens, Cody Rhodes deal that you know, Paul Levesque seems to be a big fan of. So I'll say this, though, like in terms of what everyone was talking about last week, for good or for bad, I think it did add an intensity, and it just felt like they they just went right back to the same old with these two tonight. It was just back to cliche wrestling attacks. And we do a pull apart later on in the show when Charlotte shows up. And I mean, maybe they'll bring up, maybe they'll do a segment with the two talking next week. But to me, it was like, you know, there was a silver lining to this last week in that you added like some actual heat and substance to this. And I just felt like we just turned the clock back to like the latest, you know, pull apart angle with them.
Yeah. It was a very, you know, it was an uncomfortable and awkward segment last week, but, you know, they had a chance to capitalize on it in some way. And I felt like they were going to do that. Like yourself, like I spend so little time on X these days because of what it's become that I don't know what's trending and whatnot, unless really I'm on a new shift for the site. And, you know, there are certain accounts that I will check. But, so I too had to find out what this so-called viral confrontation was, you know, easy enough to find, of course. So I'm not super high on using these, because I'd heard zero buzz about this all day. But anyway, that itself was sort of promising. But like you said, John, I think having them reference what happened last week and what was said last week, even if it's not going to get into the nitty gritty of it again, would have been better than what they did, which was just the heel attack, you know, surprise attack, which you could see a million miles away. Oh, Charlotte's been sent home. Yeah, sure. Okay.
What was odd was like Joe Tessitore was talking about, we know what happened this afternoon. And then later it's like, we have to talk about the elephant in the room. Like they're talking about like this thing that we're not supposed to be talking about. And yet they were treating like last week's promo as the thing that we cannot talk about for real. And I don't know. I didn't think they followed up on this to any degree of, you know, what you did, whether you thought this was a train wreck or not last week, like it did generate like some substance for this program that was kind of languishing up until last week. So, that was it. We'll see what they have in store for the last show next week. Damian Priest comes out. He was supposed to have a face to face, but it was a back to face because Drew jumped him from behind in his eye patch and, Drew gets into the ring after Priest is carried away, stating that he always tells the truth. Every action is justified. And he was definitely getting like fan support here. Like there were some like pro McIntyre reactions here. He calls Priest a parasite and says Priest would not face me like a man and agree to this match until I only had one eye. I thought that was great. He says, I'm going to give you the beating of a lifetime. But then he has a secret. He's been 100% cleared and he tears off the eye patch. I thought this eye patch was like a great little like add-on for this guy. But it looks like he's gotten rid of the eye patch after 2 weeks, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, he wore it very well, I have to say, for those couple of weeks.
But Priest isn't done. He runs down and he fights off security. They brawl around the ring. But then we get Priest goes for the eyes, and I've got to say that in this WrestleMania season, the amount of like eye gouges that they are incorporating, it is like the go-to heel spot. And with the eyes compromised, Drew hits a Future Shock DDT onto the steps, but then he goes a step too far because he rips the necklace off of Damian Priest. And I can only hope that he's going to be wearing this necklace now for WrestleMania. So we went from the friendship bracelet to this necklace that we've never heard Damian Priest talk about, but now let me guess, it is going to be of the utmost importance to Damian Priest.
Oh, you bet. That's a family heirloom.
It's got to be a family heirloom, hand-me-down of some sort.
Yeah. No one's accessories are safe when Drew McIntyre is around. Yes, yeah, that necklace is going into his mouth at some point.
Look at this. This is you know, if the hills have eyes, I mean, look at Damian Priest there. Yeah.
And he quite the recovery from the original attack, because I mean, he had to be helped by two people to the back. He was knocked silly, and then, you know, quite the recovery.
They both have regenerative powers in them, mm-hmm. whether it's the eyes or sneak attacks. DIY are complaining about their loss to the Motor City Machine Guns last week as they show Ciampa being nailed into the exposed buckle. Their new gimmick is that they're paranoid. I thought maybe they'd be going over like their stocks being down or their 401ks. Oh, wait. They probably don't have 401ks. The machine guns enter, calling them ridiculous. Oh, Pretty Deadly were also in the mix here. The machine guns come in. They're getting a tag title shot against the Street Profits next week and say it's not a conspiracy. It's karma. And so I guess we'll find out next Friday if we're going to get this multi-tag team match at WrestleMania or not, because that's your last opportunity to do it. Or if all these tag teams are going to be all for naught, and Nick Aldis's big chart is going to go to waste, his graph.
Yeah, and as we'll find out later on, The Miz and Mello are suddenly right at the top of the rankings.
Which would make it six teams if they opt to go with all the people in this mix. I mean, you could just shove everyone into a match. I don't think it's for all the time. Like, they have been building this five-way tag story for so long. But now that we're here at WrestleMania, like, I just feel like we've seen every combination by this point, and I don't know if it's it just feels like kind of just shoving everything to get everyone a place on the card.
No, I agree, but I will say this about SmackDown: they've whether it's to fill time or whether it's genuinely to try and build up the tag division, they have been getting a lot of airtime. And when you see that the War Raiders are defending at Mania, and the WWE titles are not being tag titles are not being defended, that does seem, at the moment at least, it does seem a bit of an oversight considering the weeks of programming of this we've had.
Berto against Rey Fénix. So they had a 10-minute match. It's probably the best match Berto has had, based on like a lack of like time that he ever gets, whether it's in a tag team or a singles match. But early on, Berto hits a Fosbury right through the ropes to the floor. And then there's a double springboard dropkick by Fénix as he starts his comeback. Big tornado by Fénix to the floor. And we get a series of sit-out power bombs from Berto. And then Fénix goes for a springboard into a Frankensteiner off the top, does the tiger feint into a spinning head kick, and then gets the boots up on a moonsault attempt, hits the goodbye amigos kick, and the Mexican muscle buster in 10 minutes and 42 seconds for his follow-up appearance in WWE. I don't know if we'll see any kind of appearance by Fénix at WrestleMania. Like, it is a kind of a weird time to debut someone new, and it's not like he really has anything set up, but maybe at least on the SmackDown the night before, he'll do something. And it looks like they are building for something involving like Andrade and Los Garza involving Rey Fénix.
Yeah. I don't see either Fénix or Penta making it onto the Mania car. Of course he is. Sorry. Apologies.
But yeah.
But I think Rey is just, too new really. And, there isn't an obvious spot there for him. But anyway, this is easily the best wrestling match on the show. And I actually preferred it to the Nathan Frazier match last week, which had its a couple of little issues, which I wouldn't have thought on paper that this would be the better match. Berto's very good. I think he did his part here, playing a larger guy, providing a base for Fénix, but he himself is still able to pull out some very impressive.
It's WrestleMania month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, and we are going to have wall-to-wall coverage of the events from Las Vegas beginning Thursday, April 17th. We're going to be doing daily shows on the Post Wrestling Cafe featuring myself, John Cena, and many more of the Post Wrestling staff. Plus, this month, it is two editions of Rewind Away as we cover SummerSlam 1997 and a retrospective of Jumbo Tsuruta. All that, plus coverage of New Japan's Sakura Genesis, Windy City Riot, Collision Course, and of course, Daredevil Born Again on MCU later. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.
Moves in his own right. I quite like the idea of Berto getting a little bit of a push on his own, which they also seem to be hinting at, that he may well be on the outs with Legado del Fantasma. We see later on, of course, Santos is not happy with him, so.
Yeah, we had Santos come out to check on Berto, and he instructed him to shake Fénix's hand, and Berto just begrudgingly like smacks the hand and leaves and walks out. And it's Santos like showing respect to Fénix. Byron is with Roxanne Perez, who we have not seen on the main roster like forever. She's here to see Nick Aldis because she wants a women's title shot at WrestleMania. I mean, timing was off a bit. This would have been a great idea a month ago. And she says, Tiffany Stratton can't handle the pressure. I don't think she even realized Stratton is the champion as well. Like that.
This made no sense to me whatsoever until later on when they talked about that she wanted to be an alternate if one of the two were sort of disciplined and not allowed to compete next weekend. But this segment on its own, it just was like, why is she – what is she saying?
There was a lot of confusing stuff here. So Stratton hears this, of course. She's like right there and gets into her face, offers Perez a match, and Nick Aldis will think about it and tells Tiffany to cool off.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Then there was a video on Paul Heyman and CM Punk. This was a lot of this was from Punk's DVD over a decade ago, just talking about the relationship between these two. And then fast forwarding to Heyman's induction last year into the Hall of Fame. Really great video here, just kind of going over the history of these two. And, you know, Heyman stating that one day, this is in 2012, predicting one day Punk would headline WrestleMania.
Yeah, I did like the moment of honesty in all of this, because I know these are here to be exaggerated, you know, for storyline purposes. But we got Punk saying that when he left, you know, a lot of his relationships sort of went on ice, and Paul was no exception to that. And I think, you know, clearly that was true. He did sort of cut his ties with pretty much everybody. But a question for you, John. I mean, a lot of best friend talk here. Is that, to your knowledge, is that accurate that these two really are or were that close?
Oh, they were. I mean, this, like, to Punk's detriment, I think he was very much like a Paul Heyman project, like from the time he got to OVW. I don't know how much like of a relationship they would have had pre OVW. Like, I'm sure Heyman was aware of him, but it's not like they would have, you know, worked together. But it's an OVW. Like he mentored CM Punk there. And when Paul was kind of, they did the reboot of ECW, like that was, you know, he wanted to make this a vehicle for CM Punk. He even had like petitioned for Punk to win that ECW title at that Elimination Chamber show. And like that was, you know, because it was so overt that he was one of Heyman's guys, like it was thought that this was going to hurt CM Punk politically. But no, they have, you know, they have always had, like, to my knowledge, like a very close relationship. And I would imagine it's as it was laid out here, like it, like Punk was not having anything to do with anyone connected to WWE when he had left. And then there was the lawsuit and all of that. So I don't doubt that at all, that there was probably very little between them at that point. Yeah. So, you know, it's a real story that people can get into. And I think you can look at it as something that they can lean on going in. And also, like, the idea of Heyman turning on him is also there, that people will buy as like a more significant heel turn than just your run-of-the-mill one.
Yeah.
We had what we believe was our latest Aleister Black spot, which, I mean, if you're going by that 427 was, I think, the... No, 420-something. 426.
I'm not sure, John.
It was the 426, which that would be April 26th is a Friday. So it could be that SmackDown after WrestleMania that if past videos are alluding to those numbers. Chelsea Green and Zelina Vega. I don't know why this was on the show, but it was. Chelsea Green is out because earlier she's outside the trainer's room where Niven and Fire are being tended to from the gauntlet match. So she's all alone against Zelina Vega. And so she was doing just fine here. She runs Zelina into the barricade, drops her on the desk, and then is demanding that her detail come out as she's yelling at Tessitore and Wade Barrett. And then the bell rings and it's ruled that Zelina Vega has won by countout at 1:04. And Zelina Vega treats this like she has just conquered Mount Everest, as she is like signaling for the title that she's coming for the belt after this total fluke count out win. They're obviously building to a match here, but this to me would be a night before WrestleMania type of match on SmackDown, much less so on the show, because they were kind of going in this direction, and they even set it up that Zelina was going to have to go through all the members to get to Chelsea. And in the first match, she lost to Piper Niven, and they kind of just dropped it. So now we're just skipping the line and going right to Chelsea.
Yeah. And another thought I had after this was how lucky Nick Aldis is that people want to have, you know, extemporaneous matches, because clearly he had booked, and as you said, it like went a minute and a half or something like that. So
well, good thing he had a standby match ready. Mm-hmm. So Legato is disappointed in Birdo for overlooking Phoenix, and Angel leaves with Santos to go find Phoenix, and Berto's left alone as Andrade approaches him, telling him, "You're a great wrestler too, you should be proud," and Birdo just tells him to mind his own business and walks away. So this is our reminder that Andrade is still on SmackDown. And then we go to what are becoming like weekly highlights here. These Naomi videos, which are just great. It's very much the same style as last week. She calls Jade Cargill scum, a leech, an opportunist, but most of all, you're a snake. And I took your place as champion after taking you out. Now Bianca won't even look at me. There's no more fake loyalty. I'm doing what's best for me. So at WrestleMania, proceed with caution. She also did this maniacal laugh. I think Naomi is just so into this heel character. Like she's
nailing it. It's great. Yeah. The proceed with caution thing I don't love I don't think it's necessary, you know, for her to have this sort of catchphrase. But these video segments are tremendous with her.
Yeah, and then we get the response track from Jade, who is pissed, and she doesn't know what is best for her. Your glow is fading because your star is fading, so you're trying to take mine. Well, I'm not a rookie anymore, but I'm your biggest threat. And just for you, Neil, a storm is coming.
Yeah. My only issue with this feud is that every time Jade has got her hands on Naomi so far, she's made incredibly short work of her. So there hasn't been enough of, last week perhaps aside, there hasn't been enough of Naomi being able to use heel tactics, whatever she needs to do to be a viable threat to Jade. And you know, that's just my reading of it.
Yeah, I don't know what the match will actually produce, but man, do I see so much more upside in Naomi. And I don't envision her necessarily winning this match, but I think long term this turn's going to do great stuff for Naomi, who I think certainly this feels like such a refresh for her, and you can tell she's very engaged with this direction. Cody Rhodes comes out, and we have the ring decorated with all various past versions of the WWF Championship belt. And before he gets into everything, he thanks Seattle, whether it's tonight or when I was working for Defy, just to ensure that this, oh, wow, look at this guy. And he emphasizes what the championship means. It means being the best. And this threat from Cena, it's about all the future champions and keeping this title home. Cena's trying to take our title away from us. So in story now, he's going to take this title hostage, and no one will ever be able to win this title again is the story. Cody is literally saving this company from having a championship belt, which is under attack for. Gunther does not exist in Cody's world at all. Like this is it. This is the real title.
Yep.
He then notes. Yeah. I was just going to say that when he brings up Cena's name, there were like the dueling chants for Cena. So Cody then makes mention of the fact that Seattle was not part of John Cena's farewell tour. And the crowd realizes this. They're like, yeah, F this guy. And he goes through each championship belt with, Bruno's inflated sellout record, mentioning The Undertaker, Eddie, which gets a big chant. And then he walks up to the spinner belt, referring to Cena, but says, "You told me I'm not authentic, but I'm the champion, and you're not, John." Cody says, "Fans are allowed to love someone else. I might be called the captain," but he lists off all the talent that are here on this roster and says that I don't flinch when my back is against the wall. And that's what I told Brock and what I told Roman. Cena, you knew your time was up a long time ago. That's why you did what you did. And this title stays home and it stays with us as he hoists it up. And yes, not a mention of one Dwayne Johnson. As we inch closer toward WrestleMania, this is
I don't know who you mean.
This is just like a puzzling. Brock Lesnar got more mention here than Dwayne Johnson for this angle. But yes, and we will have Cena on the show next Friday for their go home segment.
Yeah, the lack of any Rock explanation still annoys me. I mean, but, you know, I don't ask for much in my storytelling, but, you know, we all saw The Rock give the signal to Cena with the sort of throat-cutting motion and, you know, Cena seemingly acting on it. And that is not at all the story they're telling here. It's now that Cena's pissed off with the fans because they've taken and never given, and he wants to take the belt away and, like you said, I don't know, lock it up or whatever. So two thoughts from this segment was, yes, Gunther is a nobody. And second of all, it's a bit, I don't really mean to nitpick, but he sort of,
well, it's what we do.
We've got proof here that you can replace the belt. Proof literally is sitting behind him on all of these podiums.
He's
sort of saying, you know, oh no, we can't stop. We have to stop Cena taking this from us when clearly, you know, if he does, yeah, we can do another one.
Well, there you go. That was our championship celebration for Cody. He's protecting the entire company. So next week, in addition to Cena appearing, they have announced the Street Profits against the Machine Guns for the tag titles. The Secret Hervis, all three, Chelsea, Piper, and Elba Fire against Zelina Vega, Katana Chance, and Caden Carter, and the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. So we will get just a bunch of randoms thrown in for the annual Battle Royal next week.
Yeah. On this. What were your favorite moments from the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal last year, John? Can you remember?
my highlight was it like 2 years ago? I can't remember who won it, but the next day the winner of it was on the pre-show, and it was the graphic read the Andrew the Giant Memorial Battle Royal winner. That was maybe my
strongest recent memory of it as well, as it being called the Andrew the Giant.
That was the peak of this Battle Royal. And given it's 3 hours, this Battle Royal might be long.
Yep.
Goodness. They also promote Roman, Punk, and Seth Rollins appearing on Raw on Monday. Saxon is with the Street Profits, and they're confronted by The Miz and Hayes, who just run them down as being a joke that's running this tag division into the ground. And this is where Miz uses the line that they aren't even on the WrestleMania card. We're putting you on notice to come for those belts, and we want the smoke. So I'm just thinking with that line that this will probably mean the tag title should be on the card. It actually like really buries your tag titles if the heel calls this out and they're not on the show. But it also makes me think that instead of five teams, either Miz and Hayes are replacing one of those teams, or we're going to get six teams in this. And that's a lot of people to just shovel onto this card.
Yeah. I can see some sort of angle, on next week's show with this title match with the
all the tag guns, teams, you know. Like probably like some kind of no contest in the title match. All the teams run out and they all want the next title shot, and boom, that's your match for Mania of some sort. Tiffany Stratton against Roxanne Perez. So we've got Roxanne Perez, who wants a title match at WrestleMania because Tiffany can't handle the pressure. She is now facing the champion in a non-title match. Number two is that, how bad was this parking lot attack when Tiffany is good to go and disposes of Roxanne Perez in 9 minutes? I mean, what was the purpose of this attack? So early on, Perez grabs the ring skirt. So as the ref goes to fix it, you won't believe where Roxanne went. She went to the eyes of Tiffany Stratton and then works on the arm and shoulder all throughout the break. When she goes for a cabrata, Stratton gets the knees up and tries for the PME, but is stopped with a side Russian leg sweep off the turnbuckle. Pop Rocks is avoided. She goes with a tilt-a-whirl into the crossface, and then it's Tiffany powering her onto the shoulders for a rolling fireman's carry. Prettiest moonsault ever, and pins Roxanne in 9:17. In what was, I thought, a very good match that these two had for Roxanne Perez, who was kind of, you know, utilized for Elimination Chamber, but barely had any presence outside of NXT since then, and was kind of just thrown in here to get Tiffany a win going into WrestleMania. I guess that was the thinking.
Yeah, I guess so. But yes, a good match, as I expected it would be. I think on commentary at some point they did, like I mentioned a little earlier, try to clarify the Roxanne involvement here, that she's angling to be
an alternate.
Yeah.
In case any of them get too unprofessional, we have a backup in case.
Yeah.
But no alternate for Kevin Owens, who actually needs an alternate now.
No. Or for anyone else. And how would that work with the champion? Anyway.
Well, but then we have Charlotte Flair jumping into the ring, out of the crowd, and attacks Tiffany Stratton. And we had another attack here from Charlotte Flair. I just thought overall, like, man, it was, I think there was interest this week in seeing what the follow-up was going to be, and I just didn't think it was there. Like, I honestly feel like keeping Charlotte off the show might have built more intrigue for next week rather than just your same old, in terms of, like, your attack angle.
Yeah, I mean, they did do something slightly unusual in having sort of Wade Barrett kind of stand in the way and, you know, as though, hey, this is a nod to it being somewhat real, or, you know, this is a shoot, people or whatever, you know, it's, but of course it's not. And it's, I was disappointed on what they did, tonight, you know, to build on last week. It wasn't really effective.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get Wade Barrett against Charlotte Flair by the end of this whole thing.
Oh yeah. And she'll win.
And the final match of the night, LA Knight, Randy Orton against Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. A house show match if there ever was one.
Absolutely.
I mean, this was, Orton hits a draping DDT early, calls for the RKO, but then Tonga gets involved and a Samoan drop is hit. So we get the heat on Randy for all of the break. And Wade Barrett just flat out says, you know, ever since Solo Sikoa lost to Roman Reigns on the Netflix debut, he's never regained that momentum. Very accurate, I would say. So they work and work for the hot tag. LA Knight is knocked off the apron, but then he comes back. Eventually, Orton makes the tag, and Knight does the big comeback until he is hit with a Samoan spike. Orton then attacks Sikoa. RKO is hit to Tama, and then Sikoa yanks Randy to the floor, and the two brawl into the crowd and to the back, and we never see them again. Knight hits the VFT, pinning Tama Tonga, and then he is left as Jacob Fatu shows up and beats down LA Knight with a senton and then three springboard moonsaults to close the show, each one the crowd getting more and more into. And Jacob Fatu stands tall to end the show. And while not officially announced, I would expect that it's Randy and Solo Sikoa at WrestleMania. That certainly felt like will be an imminent announcement that they'll make.
It looks that way. I mean, they're in a bind. You know, Randy has to be on the card. They need an opponent for him. I'm not thrilled with this match up, you know, particularly compared with what it's replacing. Solo versus Randy, you know, it doesn't really feel like a big match, but they got to do what they've got to do, I suppose.
Yeah, maybe that'll be the tagline for the match. We got to do what we got to do. Randy Orton versus Tama Tonga. If you do want to get in on and join us, we will be going to phone calls in just a couple of minutes once we continue with the XL version. We're going to be saying goodbye in just a few minutes to our YouTube audience. But final thoughts on the show tonight, Neil, in terms of the penultimate SmackDown before WrestleMania and the 3 hours that was tonight's show in Seattle.
I thought it was okay, you know, and no better than that. And I would expect more, you know, going into the weekend prior to WrestleMania. I understand they can't have all of the main event sort of players around on one show, but the tornado match was a little long and felt like we're trying to fill a show. Some of those matches that weren't even announced for tonight, same story. We've got Cody having to hang on his own again to try and build that match. So I don't know. It was last week's show was better. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. I think that this was one that, you know, there were some bright spots on the show, but in terms of segments to actually build WrestleMania, I didn't think this was some of the, the best creative on this show. Mainly, I just thought that the follow up with Stratton and Flair, it just felt as though let's go right back to, you know, our, you know, just pro wrestling trope type of build that this weird segment from last week was. It did conjure up like some real interest, I think, in the match. Like that was a byproduct of last week's segment, and it just felt like two steps back tonight for that one as well. And as well as just kind of slotting in, you know, your excess names into the show, finding an opponent for Randy, and you know, and it's a match with Randy Orton and Solo Sikoa. I don't think too many people are probably looking at that, but I mean, when you look at options as well, like who were the available options that you're looking at? I mean, personally, I would have just thrown Rey Fénix and Randy Orton in together. I mean, talk about a match that would have just been super fun to watch and come up with some crazy RKO spot. But there you go. We are going to be taking your feedback and calls. If you're on the YouTube channel, we are going to be back on Monday night with Rewind to Raw. I'm going to be joined Monday night by Davey Portman. So he will be with us for the final Raw before WrestleMania. If you want to go XL, you can do so at postwrestlingcafe.com, and you get the feedback section every week as well as the news of the day, which we start off the show. Neil and I spent about 20 minutes going over all of the news at the beginning of this show. Just quickly going over the next few days. So on Saturday, we are going to have a free show out with Bruce Lord and Karen Peterson going over tonight's Windy City Riot. Saturday night is Collision Course. And then on Sunday morning here on the Post Wrestling Cafe, I will be live with Eric Marcotte at 11 a.m. chatting UFC 314, and then back Monday night after Raw. So there you go, everybody. We are going to sign off, and thank you for tuning in to Rewind to SmackDown. A big thank you to Two Way Ray for all the behind the scenes work. We thank him very much, and we'll chat with you later on this week. This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Postwrestlingcafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.